Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
God will answer your prayers, and if you're not looking with expectation for the answer, you will not see all the prayers answered. And you'll get to the end of the year, you'll be like, God didn't do the thing. And if you look back and you actually open your eyes, you'll realize, yeah, God did do the thing, but you had your eyes closed. There's a story in Acts chapter 12 where Peter comes knocking at the door. There's an intercessory prayer meeting praying for Peter, who is in prison, Peter the apostle, to get out of prison. And the prayer meeting is interrupted by the knock on the door, the very thing they're praying for. They're praying for Peter to get out of prison. They go to the door, and they don't open the door. And they just think, they assume it's just Peter's ghost. The word is actually Peter's angel. Because in that time, in that culture, it was believed to be that, you know, the angel that was assigned to you actually takes on the likeness of the person they're assigned to and sounds like them. So that's why it was so flippant. They go to the door, they hear his voice, they don't open the door, they turn around and say, oh, it's just his angel. Wait a minute, you're praying for him to get out of prison and you're saying it's just his angel? I mean, even if it was just his angel, open the bloody door. Talk to the angel. Like, oh, it's just his angel. He's just waiting at the door. Like, open the door. Feed him some food. Like, give him some hummus. Do something. Offer him something. They go back to the prayer meeting. But that's so many of us. The answer is at our door knocking, and we don't open the door, and we get to the end of the year. We're like, ah, didn't happen. But did it? Maybe it did, but because you were not looking with expectation and opening the door when the door was knocked, you missed it. And then you complain about God not answering your prayer. Here's what I want to say to you, that God wants to give us eyes to see in 2025. To see when we pray for something that he actually, often he will respond, but not always in the way that we think. It might come with a knock at the door. We're praying that Peter blows open the door. We're praying that Peter, you know, breaks in and enters. But God's like, no, I'm just going to knock on the door. You got to open it. The answer is at the door, but it's knocking. I'm not going to open the door for you. You got to open the door to the answer. This is a word for some of us in this season. You pray for a job, and then you have, like, you know, you get all these opportunities, and you're like, or you have an opportunity in your hand. You're like, no, I don't want that one. But you prayed for a job, and God's put something in your hand. You're like, I don't want that one. And you're picky with God's answer. Sometimes, this is what I want to say to you. If you're praying for things and God is giving you something, lean in and ask the question, God, could this be that something? Could this be the thing that paves the way for the better thing? But because I want the better thing now, I'm missing the main thing right now. God's answering my prayer, but because I don't have eyes to see, I'm going to miss out on what God wants to do in my life. This is like spiritual life 101. Stewardship is everything in the kingdom. If we don't get in the right environment, we will lose what we have. If we don't put ourselves in the right environment, in the right spiritual climate, with the right people, we will lose what we have. We will not be able to steward the life that God wants us to steward well. There's a verse here in Matthew chapter 13, and it's the parable of the sower, the most important parable of all the parables. And Mark 4 references this as the most important parable of all the parables. It's the parable that, if you don't understand this parable, you'll miss every other parable. And I reference this on Culture Night on Monday night. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is because parables were like mysterious maps that he would throw out to people that had a hidden treasure on it. And he would use real life circumstances, metaphors and illustrations to convey spiritual truth. And only those that would truly seek out him as an individual to understand would understand where this treasure was on the map. So it's like this. It's like God is every day throwing stuff at you, but you choose not to lean in or search it out or seek it out. God's giving you a dream at night. You say, well, if it's really God, God will tell me what the dream means. He's giving you repeated dreams. Maybe you're having tormenting dreams. Whatever the case may be, God is trying to get your attention. He's knocking, 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 knocking. But because you don't open the door, you miss out on the treasure. The very thing that you've been asking for is knocking at your door. Breakthrough in my marriage. Breakthrough in my personal life. Breakthrough in my business. Breakthrough, breakthrough. I want to move forward, but I'm stuck. And God is giving you the answers, but they're not coming in the form that you hope they come in. And so you don't open the door of opportunity, and you miss out, and you wonder why you're not moving ahead. And we all have these areas, by the way. We all have areas like this. You know, some people have no-go zones, right? It's like talking to a mom about their parenting style, typically a no-go zone. Telling another mom how to parent, typically a no-go zone, right? No, why is nobody responding to that? It's a no-go zone. It's like, but here's the thing. What if sometimes it's God speaking to adjust your parenting style? I'm not just picking on moms here. I'm just, in general, we all have these areas where God is knocking, and if we're not willing to open up the door, we will miss the answer. So it says here in Matthew chapter 13, and Jesus is speaking, he's conveying the message of the kingdom through a parable, through the parable of the sower. And in chapter 13, verse 3, it says, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Just stop there for a second. The birds came. The birds came and ate it up. Now, this word actually is the wayside, which means it fell on soil that could not embrace the seed. It fell in the wrong environment, the wrong time, the wrong environment. There wasn't an open, willing heart to embrace the seed. This is the first step. If you want to live, if you want to experience, if you want to see God move in your life, you have to have a willing heart. Are you here this morning? Because there's birds that are trying to take what God's trying to give you and snatch it from you. This week I woke up on Thursday night, and this is how God often will speak to me. This is how my gift works and operates. Thursday night I woke up in the middle of a sleep, and two birds slammed into my back. I felt two birds slam into my back, and I woke my wife up, and I'm like, two birds just hit me. Like, in the middle of the night, two birds came into the house and hit my back, and I'm fully, like, awake. I'm fully awake in the bed, and she's like, just go back to bed. She's like, it's like almost like she's half conscious and half unconscious, and her spirit's able to direct me in these moments, because I don't know if she always fully remembers, but she sometimes remembers these moments. But I woke up, and I've been pondering this experience, because I lean into these things. I'm like, God, what are you saying? Because when I was in one city in Brazil in October, a very similar thing happened to me, and I was feeling this warfare, and I went into this new city, and the first night of the hotel, I woke up I felt a rock. I felt somebody threw a rock into my back, and I woke up on the other side of the room standing. Then some of you, this is like crazy. Who is this pastor? Like, I mean, this is crazy. But these are some of the things that happened to me at night. Some of you are like, oh, he needs deliverance. Well, let me just tell you, this is some of the ways that God speaks to me, how he interacts with me. And so, and I knew this was a little bit of warfare. And that night after we broke through, I mean, we had one of the craziest breakthroughs in that city. I say all that to say is that when this happened, I thought of that. I thought of that story because it was the back again. And I felt like the Lord said to me, watch your back in this season, because the birds are trying to snatch the seed. And I want to give you this word, because the birds are trying to snatch your seed, your investment, your marriage, your kids, your job, trying to thwart, trying to distort, try to taint and tarnish. There are birds that are trying to attack. And the reference, and I want to just jump over to Matthew 13, verse 18, when Jesus is now explaining He's explaining this part of the parable. Okay, I'm not reading the whole parable because there's four different types of soil. But he's explaining this parable in verse 18 and says, listen then to what this parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, does not have an ability to embrace it, is the word. Does not have an open mind, does not have open eyes, open ears, does not have their senses trained to open themselves up in surrender to handle what's being given. That's the word. That's what it means. If this person does not understand it, the message about the kingdom, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. We've been in this since the beginning of November, this message on the kingdom. Now, this is not actually what I was going to talk about today. We have been in this theme of the kingdom. The central message of Jesus is the message of the kingdom of God. He talked more about the kingdom of God than any other thing. People always say, well, he came with a message of love. Well, if you read the book of John, you're going to see a lot of love. But if you read the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the central message of, he talked about love twice. That's it. Now, he is love. God is love. He embodies love. He doesn't teach on love. He doesn't do love. He is love. Very different. He is love. Everything he is love, okay? He's Mr. Love himself. But his message in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, and you see this in the summary of Mark and summary of Luke, consistently is a message of the kingdom of God. And the message of the kingdom of God falls on four different types of soil. Now, we want the soil that's fully fertile, fully tilled, fully open to receive the seed so we can grow. We can grow into what God has called us to grow into. But if your soil is hard, if your soil is toxic, if your soil is dull, calloused, full of pride, you're going to miss out on what God is trying to do. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's knocking on your garden door, literally, because your heart is like a garden. He's trying to get in so he can produce fruit, his fruit, the fruit of the kingdom. And I just believe that in this season of our life, this is a word for us. Watch for the birds. Watch for the birds, because they come in pairs. It's not just one. They come in pairs. They come as a team. The enemy has a plan to take what's in you and destroy it, to snatch away all the good things that God has put in your life. His plan is to take it from you. The enemy, John chapter 10, verse 10, is like a thief who comes to kill, steal, right? And destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you a life of abundance. This is the juxtaposition. Jesus wants to give you a life of abundance, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. But the devil is here to take away, to steal, kill, and destroy everything good in you. And sometimes stealing things before they even get to you. You know, there are things that God wants to get to you, but because you're not paying attention, the enemy comes in and intercepts the pass. You're like, well, why would God allow that? Here's the thing, because you're called to be a steward and to pray. There are some things that he says, I want you to pray this thing through. Don't just wait it out. Don't just be like, oh, he's sovereign and he's just going to do it. If he really wants to do it, he'll do it. That's a very, very wimpy way to live. And you're going to miss out on everything. God wants you to bring your request to him. He wants you to bring your supplication to him. He wants you to ask God and declare and believe and stand so you feel the reward of your faith. It's like there are things that we earn. And it's not because like we want to feel righteous about what we earned, like what we did. No, it's like God's like, hey, you're ready now. You were faithful, John. You were faithful, and now you're ready. I can give you this. You earned it. You partnered with my favor. You partnered with my grace, but you were loyal. You were consistent. You get what I'm saying? God is not like a slot machine or a gamble. He's not a lottery ticket. He is like this this fine, our relationship with him is like this fine wine that is being curated, that's being developed over time in relationship. And the more time, the finer it gets, the better it tastes, the more we understand. And so we are in this, and I want to now jump to Matthew chapter 11. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Like I said, this is not really where I was going today, but I felt to start in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 11, and let me just bring a little bit of context here. You guys okay? Let me take a drink. I hope you can take some notes sometimes. I hope that you can leave with something. I hope that you come here to receive, you know, our heart is that we wouldn't just be a dispensary. Like, we're not trying to, I want you to take this, and I want you to apply it. I don't want you just to consume it. I want you to take it and apply it to your life. The things that we're talking about. Matthew chapter 11, let me give you a little bit of context. Matthew chapter 10, very, very important chapter. We see the commission to the disciples. We also see this in other gospels, of course. The synoptic gospels are a mirrored reflection of the other ones. But Matthew chapter 10, God gives, through Jesus, his commission to his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the leper. We see the miracles happening in this chapter. Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus healing the blind. We see him healing, which is very important to understand Matthew chapter 11, because he's doing the works, the miraculous works of God. And we see this all the way in Matthew chapter 9, but even before that as well. But Matthew chapter 11, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Now, let me just, for those of you that don't understand the context, the full context of this passage, you got to remember, like, John the Baptist, not John the Revelator of the book of Revelation, John the Baptist, who was beheaded, okay? John the Baptist was the forerunning voice to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. John the Baptist was a relative of Jesus, just months apart. John the Baptist baptized Jesus at the age of 30. We read this in Matthew chapter 3. He baptizes Jesus at the age of 30. He knew that it was his responsibility, okay, to baptize his cousin at the age of 30. It was John, the revelator in the book of John, that recounts John the Baptist saying in John chapter 1, behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John the Baptist made the pronouncement that this Messiah Jesus, who I'm about to baptize, is the one who takes away the sin of the world. Okay? So he is the forerunning voice preparing the way for the Messiah. Two different roles. This is like a picture of the body of Christ. We have varying roles in the body of Christ. We all play a part. John's part was to prepare the way for the Jesus part. Okay, so understanding this is very important, because John the Baptist is in prison now. And now, all of a sudden, after all of this, he's doubting whether or not Jesus is the one to come. Imagine, your whole life is destined for this moment. You make the pronouncement. You baptize the guy. You see the Holy Spirit descend upon the guy like a dove at his baptism. You hear a voice in heaven. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You see this whole experience. You experience this whole thing. You make the pronouncement. You're confident. He's your cousin, so you're like, it must be right. And now you're in prison, you're alone, a little bit isolated, probably discouraged a little bit. Now you're like, man, did I miss it? But he wasn't just struggling in doubt because he was in prison. He was struggling because now he was judging the works of Christ. He's like, this is not what I thought he was going to come to do. Because here's the thing. When you play your part, you don't always see the other person's part for what it is. You know in part, and you see through a glass dimly. So it is impossible for you to know everything. So now Jesus comes, and he's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's healing the blind eyes. He's healing the deaf. And he's hearing the works of Christ, and he's wondering. This is why it says here in verse 2, and when John had heard, everyone say heard. Because there's two things I want to talk about today in a very short time, but maybe it won't be, definitely will not be finished. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one?" So when he had heard about what Jesus was doing, he's doubting. You ever doubted something because of what's happening or not happening? Right? You pray, you believe, God told you to step out and do something, and now all of a sudden the circumstances are not going the way that you thought they were going to go, and now you doubt the word. Well, Jesus is the word, okay? He is the word made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus comes as God incarnate. He's God wrapped in flesh. He is the word. It's easy to trust the word. It's not easy when the word does not come to pass in the way that we think it's going to come to pass, and all circumstances are screaming at you, it's impossible, contradiction. Now you're judging what's not happening. You're judging the behavior of the circumstances, and that's causing you to now contradict or compromise your trust in the word. You tracking with me? Like, it's really easy to believe a word, step out, okay, you're in this thing now, and now everything that's happening around you says no. Impossible. It's not going to happen. It was easy to get in the room, but now it's hard to stay in the room. Remember, I say this all the time. Faith brings us into the room, but it's hope fueled by perseverance that keeps us there. It's not faith. We need hope and perseverance to empower our faith while we're in the room now, to stay in the room. I took a leap of faith off of this cliff, into this door, into this room. Now I don't see the thing happening that faith brought me to see. So now the only thing that's going to keep me there is a perseverance that's now fueling the hope to believe that that thing, that word that I had by faith, is still going to happen. And I'm going to plant myself here. Right? But when we start to judge the behavior of the circumstances or the lack thereof, and it's not going to happen, we begin to wonder, was that the word? John was having this struggle. You see what I'm saying here? You see the conclusion that I'm drawing here? John was now judging the works, the behavior of the word himself, and now he's struggling. Is he really the word? You seeing this? Was I right when I said that behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Was I right when I said I'm not even fit to be in your shoes? Was it right to say that I must be the one that, you know, you must baptize, like Jesus, was it right when Jesus said, no, you must baptize me to fulfill all things? Like, was I wrong in partnering with all of that? It says here in verse 3, and he said to them, because remember, John sent two disciples of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one? He says, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, listen to Jesus' answer to the disciples to go back and tell doubting John. Go and tell John the things which you, what? Two very important realities that we're going to break down in the next 2 weeks. Hearing and seeing. Hearing and seeing. We have five senses, spiritually speaking. And we see this just in general, in the natural, but we have five spiritual senses as well. But the two main senses are hearing and seeing all throughout Scripture. The two main gates to your inward man. To your inward man, the two main ways that God gets in is through hearing and seeing. Right? Remember what happened in Acts chapter 12 when they were praying for Peter to get out of prison? They heard the knock, right? But they were blind to the reality of what God was trying to get their attention on. I just answered your prayer. If you don't hear and see, you miss out on the kingdom of God in your life. If you hear only and don't see, you miss out on the kingdom of God in life. He says, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended by me. The word is you are favorably elongated, could be one of the definitions. Like you stretch out in blessing if you don't let offense trap you. Because John was offended now. He's like, this is the, and let me just tell you why. No, I'm talking today about the confrontation of the kingdom in your life. There's a kingdom confrontation constantly happening in your life. Now, there's a reason why this. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 18. Same chapter, but just a few verses later. Matthew 11, verse 18 says this, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon." So John was like, had a diet of locusts and honey, living in the desert. Had dreadlocks. It was like, you know, the guy was just like a, probably looked like hadn't showered in a decade. I don't know. I'm trying to imagine. He wore camel hair. I'm trying to imagine the vibe. You know, if John the Baptist came in here today, he'd be like, somebody get him some cologne or something. Verse 19. So they say he had a demon. He came, in the eyes of society, he came pure. And they claimed he had a demon. Then it says about Jesus, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look, a glutton, a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But then this last line, very powerful. Wisdom is justified by her children. In other words, if you want to know if someone's operating in wisdom or not, look at the offspring. If you want to know somebody's operating in a level of wisdom, look at what's produced in their life. Judge them by their fruit. Judge them by their fruit. So now listen to this. So basically this is it. Like actions or lack thereof, you know, like you have a demon if you don't do something, and you have a demon if you do something. That's the premise. So imagine Jesus. Like, I mean, Jesus knows this about himself because he's judging the works of Christ. He's judging the behavior of Christ. He's hanging out with all these, like, prostitutes and singers. I mean, sinners. He's having a relationship. He's a friend. The Bible says he's a friend of sinners. Because remember, he came to seek and save what? The lost, not the righteous. John's role was not Jesus' role. John's role was to prepare the way of the Lord. It was Jesus' role to seek and save the lost. That wasn't John's role. John's main role was to be a voice crying in the wilderness to prepare a way for the coming Messiah. Messiah comes, but he's not fully understanding what he's prepared the way for, and now he's judging, and now he's in offense, and now he's doubting whether or not everything that he did was true or not. And this is the confrontation that all of us have when it comes to faith, our faith journey. When we begin to judge the behavior, I call this the behavior of the circumstance. The circumstance is not behaving favorably to me right now. Therefore, I wonder if I missed it. Did I make a big mistake? So we're being confronted. We're being constantly confronted. And what's being confronted, I'll tell you two things that are being confronted constantly, is your hearing and your seeing, which is why Jesus said to John's disciples, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The very thing that caused offense is because you're letting your ears and your eyes be corrupted. You're not letting your spirit discern, and so your ears and eyes are becoming deaf and blind. Are you hearing this morning? Because everything in the kingdom, God desires to demonstrate to our lives. He wants you to not just live a kingdom life, principally speaking, I believe in the kingdom, I believe like the word about the kingdom, and I want to, he wants us to experience the fruit of the kingdom. He wants us to experience the fruit of healing. He wants us to experience the fruit of, you know, financial breakthrough and career shifts and all these things that we are believing for. He wants us to experience the fruit of kingdom life and following him. And so things in the kingdom always have a look to it and a sound to it. Remember when the Holy Spirit showed up in Acts chapter 2? What was the first description? There was a sound. Because when the kingdom shows up, it's a new sound. And then what does it say? It was like tongues of fire. They begin to see evidence of that sound. Everything in the kingdom is about hearing and seeing. Everything in the kingdom. I mean, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, about Jesus' ministry. What made Jesus' ministry credible was the mighty miracle signs and wonders that were done through his hands. Seeing and hearing. That's why Jesus said to combat John's offense and unbelief, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The lame walk, the dead are raised, lepers are cleansed. You following me here? Acts chapter 8, verse 6, and the multitudes, regards to Philip, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by the evangelist Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They heeded the words of Philip the evangelist because they saw and they heard the miracles. I mean, this was the fight of Joseph. You think about it, in Joseph, who has this dream as a 17-year-old boy, has a dream that one day he's going to be the man. I mean, that's how I would paraphrase it. He's going to be the man. His family's going to come, bow down, have need of him one day. He's going to be the savior of his family. All his brothers were ticked off. They didn't agree. They were like, how dare you? You're like the youngest, and we're going to serve the youngest. I mean, how does this make any sense? And even the mother and father were going to bow down and come in need. And as you know, he was betrayed. You know, his favorite jacket was ripped up. He was thrown into a pit. Let me just tell you, things did not begin to turn around until the first 13 years. 13 years. And it wasn't until 22 years later that the dream began to be unraveled and fulfilled. Imagine that. Like, there are things in my life I'm like, man, it's taking too long. And I'm like, it hasn't even been 13 years yet. I'm like, shoot. You know, and I know I don't want to compare myself to these guys, but I'm like, we complain about a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years being too long about certain things. And God's like, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. Joseph, who became second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt and became a foreshadowing of a Messiah to a land in a time of famine. It took him 22 years at a minimum to begin to see the fulfillment of his dream. Man, words like this, like, here's the thing, because when God gives you a word, it takes time for the word to be made manifest inside your life. God does not want the word to be made manifest outside your life until it's made manifest inside your life. There are things in your character. It says in Psalms chapter 105, verse 19, about Joseph himself. About, this is a reference to Joseph. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. This is about Joseph. The Joseph I just mentioned, until the time the word came to pass, let's say 22 years, until the time Joseph's dream came to pass, 22 years went by and the word tested him. God will not let you become, or God will not let you taste the manifestation of the word until the word tests you and you pass those tests. You'll repeat tests over and over again until you get it. Over and over again until you get it. God is so good. He's so good that he's a master at prevention. Preventing you from ruining your life because you come into a season prematurely. Some of you cannot win the lottery right now. It would ruin your life. Because you've not been able to manage the little that you have right now financially. So God in his grace will armbar certain breakthroughs and blessings in your life because you've not proven faithful with the little that you have. You track it with me? And I think this applies to every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. Until the time, I love this. This verse has always screamed at me in times when I feel like I've been in waiting and I've been like impatient. Until the time the word came to pass, the Lord tests Joseph's character. The word's got to get in me, it's got to test me, it's got to reform me, it's got to revitalize me, it's got to renew me, it's got to change me before I see the manifestation of that thing. And the fight and the confrontation that happens the most within all of that is the fight for your eyes and your ears. Where are you looking? When you're discouraged, where do you look? Usually you look down. Woe is usually, right? Non-kingdom people look down like, oh, woe is me. Like, this is horrible. Like, what am I going to do? And they stop looking up. They were looking up when all things were good and God was speaking to them the word. Now they're in the room and the word is not manifesting. And now they're like trying to move forward by looking down. How many know it's really hard to move forward when you're looking down? It's very hard to know where you're going by looking down at your feet, right? Because you might walk a little too fast and all of a sudden not realize there's a cliff right here and you fall. But if you're looking ahead and you're looking up, you know exactly where your feet need to go. Your feet follow your face. Your feet follow your eyes. What you gaze on, you become. What you behold becomes your reality. Are you tracking with this? I feel like God is speaking to someone in this room right now. And we can't leave until we fully receive it, because there's areas of your life that if you would just ask God to open up your eyes and open up your ears, it will totally transform everything in your life. Some of you are one decision away from everything changing by simply just beginning to see the hand of God and hear the voice of God in a whole new way. I want you to stand up with me. Now we're going to pray. And I just believe that there are people, there are businesses in this room, there are marriages in this room, families represented in this room, parents that love their kids, singles in this room, pre-married couples in this room, wherever you fall in the spectrum in this room, I just believe that God is highlighting today areas where you've let yourself stay stuck because you've chosen to look the wrong way. You've chosen to close your ears. You've had that knock on the door over and over again by that same person, by that same individual. But for some reason, your heart has just been like, not ready. Let me just encourage you that today is the day that God wants to get you ready so that when you leave today, you start hearing and seeing things in a whole new way. Because God is all around you. Jesus has been knocking at the door of your heart this whole time. He's been trying to guide you, trying to speak to you. He sent people into your life. He saved you. You could have lost everything, but somehow you're still standing. Somehow your marriage is still standing. Somehow your kids are still alive. Somehow you're in this room. I don't know how, but God does. God does. If I quote DJ Khaled, God did. He did it for you. He did it for you. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And he knew that you would be here on this morning, on this Sunday, on the first Sunday of February in 2025, and he knew this was going to happen. And he's giving you an opportunity and an invitation to change your way, to change the way you look, to change the way you see, to change the way you hear, to change the way that you live. He's giving you an opportunity. John's message, the Baptist, was a message of repentance. Jesus' main message was a message of the kingdom. To come into the kingdom, you have to change your focus and repent. Repentance simply just means to go back up, to return to the penthouse. That's the word where it comes from. The penthouse, a higher perspective. To see from a higher perspective. To go backwards up. To a penthouse perspective and see what he sees. Because when you're down low, you don't see the full picture. But when you're up high, you see it all. So when John said, repent, he's saying, I want you to see it all from now on because you've been missing it. You've let religion stop you. You've let people stop you. You've let circumstances and situations stop you and rob you from where God wants to take you. He wants to save your life, change your life. But because you've had a low earthly perspective and you've not repented and gone out up to his penthouse experience perspective, you've missed it. So today God is elevating you. He's elevating you to a higher way, a better way. I want you to close your eyes just for a second. I feel like the Holy Spirit is going to do some things right now, and he's going to highlight some things in your life right now. He's going to highlight some things in your heart. He's going to highlight some things in your mind that maybe need to shift. Maybe you've been the one that's like, God, you're not answering me. I've prayed this prayer. Some of you prayed for a spouse. You prayed. You got the answer. You spent more time praying for the answer, and now you got the answer. You've not said thank you once. Imagine that. It's like God is this vending machine. We take, but then he gives, and we don't even take time to acknowledge the answer. And you're like, God's not real to me. He's not answering my prayer. He's answered your prayer, bro. He's answered your prayer, sister, over and over again. But you've chosen somehow to not open the door and see. Like the person that prayed, that heard the knock. They heard the knock, but they didn't open the door to see the answer to their prayer. Some of you have not been able to see the answer to your prayer because somehow you've made an agreement in your heart. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. I'm always last. He blesses that person, this person, this person, but not me. I'm like, I am not worthy. Let me just break that lie off of your life this morning. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie. You break that lie. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. You are cared for. You are loved and you are cared for. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, I just pray over everybody in this room that you would just work out just filthy mindsets about our worth and our value. I pray today you'd break something. I'm going to invite the ministry team to the front. I pray that you'd break, you just break something off of the people today that would introduce and reintroduce them to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Some of us, we feel shaken about what's been happening in our lives. God wants to introduce you today to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's his kingdom. When everything else around you is shaking, it's dysfunctional, it's disorderly, God says, I have a kingdom. It's full of order and function. And when you get, when you're part of that, everything changes. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray, speak to us. Transform our thinking right now. Speak to our hearts right now. Pray that you'd heal our bodies right now. Heal our souls right now. Marriages in here where there's tension. I pray for just a touch of healing on their lives right now. Relationships, a touch of healing on their lives right now. Singles in this house, a touch of healing on their hearts right now. Mothers, fathers, healing on their hearts right now. Kids, healing over their hearts right now. Let us be a house. Let us be a people. Let us see and hear. Let us be a house that sees and hears. What I want to do here, you know, Paul said it very clearly in Romans chapter 10. He said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is King, he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Master. He is the leader of your life, and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, because that's what defines Jesus amongst the rest. A lot of people died on the cross. You know, the cross is not the symbol of Christianity, really. It's an empty grave. A lot of people died on a cross, but he died a willing death, a brutal death, a willing death on a cross. But what separates him from everybody else who died is that he didn't stay dead. There would be no faith. There would be no kingdom. There would be none of that. All this would be useless today if there was no resurrection. And I just believe in this room this morning, the most important thing that you can do is partner with that reality before you leave today, to partner with that reality that Jesus paid a price to forgive you, past, present, and future. The good news is this. You don't confess your sin to be healed. You confess your sin because he's already healed your soul. You confess your sin because he's already forgiven you, past tense. He forgave you one time, past tense. When you confess your sin now, you are aligning yourself to who he is as righteous. You're aligning yourself to the good news that it wasn't by your good behavior. You're aligning yourself with the truth that the price has already been paid, past tense. I'm simply agreeing with that past tense reality that my sin has been already taken care of on a cross over 2,000 years ago. That's why it's good news. You're like, what do you mean it's good? I don't have to work for it? No, you have to just believe. You just align yourself with that reality. It's good news. It's too good to be true. That's why the Jews called it a scandal. It was called the scandalous gospel. It was a scandal. I don't have to work for it. I mean, we spent all of our lives following a law to work for it, to gain righteousness. No, Jesus fulfilled the law and gained righteousness on your behalf to give it to you as a free gift. It's called the gift of eternal life. It's a free gift. So today I believe he's just giving you. He's handing it out. He's saying, hey, do you want me? Do you want relationship with me? Do you want relationship with me? Religion. Forget religion. Forget the doo-doos. Forget all the doing of religion for a second. I want to be in relationship with him. I want to be in relationship. I don't want to do relationship. I want to be in relationship with him. I'm not performing. And so Holy Spirit, today I pray that you would establish relationship in this house with you. If that's you, just open up your heart and say, it's me. I want in. I want a relationship. I receive your forgiveness today. I receive your forgiveness today.